listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from Jesus who comes to us in peace. Amen.
Amen.
It's a conversation that I have had and I have heard very often in this congregation and elsewhere. Parents who grieve that their adult children are not part of a congregation, of a church family. Beginning of the summer, talked a lot about invite people to church this summer. Invite someone to church. Who are you going to invite to church? Remember that? Every week I was like, invite someone to church. And then one time in Bible study we went around, and who are you going to invite to church? I asked as we went around the room. Just about everybody said, I'm going to invite my children to church. I mean, it's really a struggle, I think, for many of us to bring our children and to long for our children to come to church. I wish my kids were part of the church. It's a real concern. I wish William would come to church. Oh, I just ache that Sharon doesn't have a church home. And of course, we can't make decisions for our kids once they've left the home, and some even while they're still living at home. We can't do it for them. We can't force them. And so we have that familiar scene of churchgoers bidding farewell to their adult children or to their siblings or to their friends, maybe staying at their house, bidding farewell at the door, and they take a polite pass from behind the newspaper on the couch or still curled up in bed or from the exercise bike or strapping on running shoes. They take a polite pass on our invitation to this spirit-born, Christ-centered cross and resurrection community. I'm not just talking about Shepherd of the Valley. I mean any gospel-centered Christian family. Week after week, sometimes, parents are polite as well and patient, but often with heavy hearts and even some deep sadness somewhere way down there. They accept the rejection and they head out by themselves to enjoy what their children and others don't get to. Have you ever gotten to enjoy an incredible dinner? Maybe out at a restaurant or maybe at someone else's home. But the someone who could and frankly should be there just isn't. And even while you're having a great time and food is delicious, you're sad. There's someone missing. Someone that's not with us who really should be here. Maybe you've noticed the sign out front. I put it up there a couple weeks ago. You need what we have here, I wrote. It's not meant to sound arrogant. I realize it might come off that way, but it's not meant to. It's meant to sound Pauline. This is Paul. You need what we have here. I am convinced that the world needs what we have here. What Paul talks about in his letters, particularly in Romans, that is grace. And mercy. Everybody needs that. I don't care who they are. Everybody needs what we have here. It's not something that we even have. It's just something that we get to experience and then receive. It's not something that we give out. It's something that God gives, and we come here and receive it. Everyone needs this. It's not just about everyone is welcome. We say that a lot. Everyone is welcome here. It's not just that. Everyone needs what is offered here. That is God's grace and God's mercy. And when a loved one, especially a loved one who's having a particularly difficult time, when a loved one passes and misses this wonderful family feast, there is a sense of deep sadness. Yes? Oh, I wish they could have been here. They really missed that. I think they really could have used that for the good. I think they really needed that. Missed out. Paul in Romans 9, in this short passage that Pat just read, is grieving that his own family, his own people, are missing out. Paul just dropped at the end of chapter 8 some of the most beautiful verses in the whole Bible. Chapter 8 of Romans, He pours his heart out for his people. We read it last Sunday. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He just put it all out there for his people out of love and passion, this experience that he had of Jesus and God's grace. That's the family feast. And some weren't even there. Or to flip the parent-child metaphor, it's a little like a child pouring their heart out with stories and lessons and questions from their day at school or something that happened to them in the neighborhood that day. They have this need to connect, and the parents just sitting on the couch distracted, missing it all because they're on the phone or texting or doing Facebook or emailing. Mm-hmm, that's great, honey. Mm-hmm, that's great, sweetie. They're not really listening. Much to grieve in these scenes that we have today, both from the scripture and in our lives, where people are missing out. Sometimes people just aren't there. And other times, they are there. They hear it, but they're totally unaffected by it. It's one thing to point fingers at children or at others, at what they're missing and what they're not going to receive, but what about us, who actually do hear and do participate, who maybe aren't so distracted, but who go on living as if nothing happens in this place, who go on living as if Christ's cross and resurrection aren't real, as if Paul never dropped those beautiful verses. I wonder if we're honest. And if you were with us here last Sunday when we read these words, I wonder how impacted we were by Paul's fire truck of a text. That's what I called it last week. I said, this is a fire truck of a text. This is the stuff we read at the time of death. This is the stuff that rescues us like a fire truck. This saves our lives. I went on and on last week. I couldn't remember what I said. I had to go look up my sermon from last week to make this point. I wonder how many of us are really affected by these words, by these good words that we hear week after week. I said it was a fire truck of a text that actually and actively saves lives, dousing out the very flames of death and rescuing suffocating sinners. How did that letter from Paul change, even save your life in this last week? What was the reading again? Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So we have grief for those who miss out on the gospel completely. And if we're honest and a little more humble, we can miss it ourselves. I'm going to be in Atlanta this week at a conference with other ELCA pastors from around the country. I'm flying out after the service here today. And I know that we will be sharing stories together about all the times that we miss the gospel, all the time. Even as we have committed our lives to naming the gospel and proclaiming it and celebrating it, yet I opt out all the time too. Hiding behind the newspaper, staying active or distracted on a bike, or strapping on the latest program of how to run your ministry in tip-top shape, or just curling up and sleeping through it all. If I'm honest, I look a lot like the one who's missing out. I think when we're getting the most upset about how others are not doing or not enjoying church right or at all is when we need to check ourselves the most. And then in our brokenness, that's where these words of grace and peace come and fill in the gaps once again. Just when we get all high and mighty about how others aren't as good or as faithful as we are, that's when we need to stop and let God be present. God fills the space whether we invite God in or not, but to be intentional about God's presence this week. This brings us to prayer. not only in our arrogance and in our grief, but also in our brokenness and humility too. This is the greatest gift. As we mourn, or as we judge others, as we make snide comments, and as we crash and come up completely empty, God is still with us. Nothing can separate us from that love. Paul, even in these five short verses today, gives it all to God at the end. Verse 5. Paul names God in the flesh, Jesus the Messiah, as the one who is over all. In other words, he lifts it all up to God, even in his grief. And in the end, this is all we can do too. In our failure, in our brokenness, in our grief, and in our pain, sometimes all we can do is open our hands and commend it all to God. Help us, God, to take it all to you in silence, in prayer, in peace. Help us, God. Amen.
Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!